Good morning, everyone. My name's Dave, and welcome to Insights for Health. Our topic today is Bill C-47 and the elimination of our natural health products. And joining us is constitutional lawyer Sean Buckley. Sean has been defending the natural health product industry, along with consumer access and choice, for nearly 30 years. He is the president and co-founder of the NHPPA, the Natural Health Product Protection Association. Sean is also a founding member and a lead counsel of the National Citizens Inquiry, investigating the effects of the government's COVID-19 mandates upon Canadians. Good morning, Sean, and welcome to Insights for Health.
Good morning. I'm so glad to be here.
I find this a little disconcerting in that I'm a health show and we are interviewing a constitutional lawyer. What is going on with Health Canada and our federal government?
Since 1994, I've been dealing with Food and Drug Act matters because the Constitution interacts with our health rights. My first experience with the natural health community was acting as counsel for Health Canada against a herbalist that was suing Health Canada because Health Canada had seized a whole bunch of herbs. And so I was acting for Health Canada against this herbalist. But later on, actually, ironically, that herbalist hired me to act and protect his access to be able to get herbs and to continue to do what he was doing. So since 1994, I've been involved quite heavily with basically acting as a shield for practitioners and for natural health product manufacturers when Health Canada is trying to drive them out of business. There's a lot of constitutional issues dealing with protecting health rights. And so back in 2008, I was one of the founders of a nonprofit called the Natural Health Product Protection Association, an association dedicated to protecting our health rights with a emphasis on protecting our right to access natural remedies. So that's how you end up talking to a constitutional lawyer on a health show. It's just I've been involved in trying to protect our access to natural health products.
And they are under assault right now with this Bill C-47 that's just passed.
That's only part of it. So when you say they're under assault, this is the end game. Anyone who's been following the regulation of natural health products and Health Canada's attempt to basically destroy the industry and ensure that we don't have access to a natural health community will know that this happens periodically. So, you know, in the late 90s, there was a huge citizen rebellion because Health Canada was driving products off the market using the chemical drug regulations and saying, you have to comply with the chemical drug regulations, and then was also going to be bringing in cost recovery, which is somewhat ironic because that's what they're doing right now, is trying to move us to regulate as chemical drugs again and bring in cost recovery. So there was this huge citizen rebellion. The Liberal government backed down. The health minister was Alan Rock, and he refers the matter to the Standing Committee of Health. Like, literally, he backed down. There was a lawsuit to have these cost recovery regulations struck, and they withdrew the regulations and said, we'll refer this to the Standing Committee of Health. Standing Committee of Health holds broad consultations. It may be that they were the broadest consultations of any standing committee in Canadian history. They were at the time. And they come out with a report with 53 recommendations. And I'll just let your listeners know, if you go to the NHPPA website, so it's www.nhppa.org, you'll be able to find a discussion paper that we've written on what's happening right now and the types of things I'm going to be talking about. In that discussion paper is a link to this report of the Standing Committee of Health and their 53 recommendations. But they were clear, you can't regulate these like chemical drugs. It's like trying to put a square peg through a round hole. It's inappropriate. It doesn't work. Despite the Standing Committee of Health saying, don't regulate these like drugs. Don't restrict them. We come out with chemical-style regulations in 2004 called the Natural Health Product Regulations, which, you know, are awful, and they've just been a disaster for our products. And then in 2008, Health Canada tries to impose really strict penalties on natural health products and give Health Canada sweeping powers that literally they could use to destroy companies on natural health products. And we rebelled. It was one of the biggest citizen rebellions in our history. here we are today, and Health Canada is doing the exact same thing. So you ask about Bill C-47. This is Bill C-51, come back from the grave. So we have this big citizen rebellion. The Harper government backs down. And it actually wasn't until 2014 that this resurfaced, if your listeners remember Vanessa's Law. So Terrence Young's daughter, Vanessa, had died from a pharmaceutical drug, and he's been a real champion in drawing attention to the need to have stricter regulations watching over pharmaceutical companies. Well, he introduces a bill called Vanessa's Law, and we all have the impression at first, well, this is new, but really it was just the Bill C-51 stuff brought back from 2008, but they were only applying it to the chemical drugs. So no one got excited about that. In fact, we had all welcomed more powers for Health Canada to have over the pharmaceutical industry. And why shouldn't they have high fines? We're talking $5 million a day fines. For a company like Pfizer, that's nothing. For a health food store owner or a natural health product manufacturer, a $5 million a day fine is the end of their business. It's the end game. In fact, in a regulatory field, like from a legal philosophical perspective, when you bring in penalties that are just so harsh that there can be not even a murmur of dissent, the bureaucracy going after you is total destruction. So you're in a state of tyranny when the government can just do whatever they want. So if Health Canada now says, jump to a natural health product company, the question isn't, well, wait a second, if I do what you say, then people are going to be hurt. The question is, how high do you want me to jump? They have total control. They now own you. So because what's happened with Bill C-47 is before Bill C-47, if you're a natural health product manufacturer or a practitioner or, a health food store, and you've crossed the line in, the act or regulation, you were facing a maximum fine of $5,000 an offense. So let's say a health food store or a practitioner or a manufacturer is running an ad, and Health Canada thinks that ad violates the law. And they're running that ad for a month. Well, you might be charged for, the month of June you ran this ad, and that's one offense, and the maximum fine would be $5,000. Well, if you cross one of these therapeutic product offenses, well, we were talking about $5 million a day, every day of violation. We're in Alice in Wonderland territory. So, and just so your listeners know, because this is really offensive, is so here, 2008, we have a rebellion over this very issue, over these very penalties, over these very powers, and the government backed down, and it was the largest citizen rebellion in my lifetime, and people in the bureaucracy, they still talk about it. Like, this is legend. Everyone in the government knows, Health Canada knows, the Minister of Health knows. Canadians didn't want this. Well, they snuck this into the budget bill. So the 2023 budget bill with I don't know how many pages. It's like sections 500 to 504. Like, nobody even noticed it was there. And it passed on June 22nd. Here's the most contentious issue between the citizens and government in my lifetime other than COVID. And they sneak it in like it's a pure end run. If they had put it in a standalone act, it would have gone to the Standing Committee of Health, and everyone would have had time to comment, and it would have been stopped. So it's already law. We have to now have this repealed, which is a little harder. People should be really mad about this because it was a total end run. It was a totally Health Canada and the government of Canada deleliberately trying to fleece us.
They talk about this cost recovery. I mean, there's already an NPN, a natural product number system, in place for the safety and the efficacy of all these natural health products. Why do they need more power?
Well, now the cost recovery, it's interesting because it is also about power. So just so your listeners understand, an NPN is a license that you have to get the government's permission to sell. This is the root of the problem. Is from a legal philosophical perspective, is what's happened in Canada is the Food and Drug Act takes the position, the legal philosophical position, that it is illegal in Canada to use anything for a therapeutic purpose. The problem is this, is we could accept that premise for a novel chemical that has been produced and wants to be introduced into human population for a therapeutic purpose. So a chemical pharmaceutical drug, as a group, have such a high risk profile and cause so many deaths and so many disabilities that could be an acceptable premise for that category. But when we're talking about natural health products that have been used for literally thousands of years, and when we're talking about products made of things that are in our food supply, we'll talk about risk later, it doesn't make any sense at all. In fact, it's absolutely offensive. And what happens is we place ourselves in the situation where the government can then just keep making the regulations more strict and more strict and more strict. And we actually have fewer and fewer effective products. Like, you walk into a health food store, it's full. And, you know, when we're through this and don't have effective products anymore, and we don't have natural health practitioners because they don't have effective products, we will lose the health food stores. There will be vitamins and minerals and the odd product on the shelves, but they'll be in levels where the amounts are so low as being meaningless.
Right, yeah.
So by increasing the regulatory requirements, they decrease the number of effective products, but they also increase the price. Like, our products now, the prices are so much higher because we're already having to comply with this very expensive regime, including the NPN that you mentioned. Well, now they're going to impose fees where the companies are going to have to pay a big fee to get a license and pay a yearly fee to be able to sell and pay a yearly fee for site licensing. And it's going to end while they're doing this. They are increasing the regulatory burden to that of the pharmaceutical drug level. And that cost alone, just ignoring the cost recovery fees, it's going to drive the small players out of business. It's going to drive a large number of medium-sized players out of business. And for those products that remain, the prices are going to skyrocket. If you're poor, you don't have the right to choose to treat yourself with natural health products because you're already priced out of the market. Natural supplements aren't cheap, and that's largely because of the regulatory burden. The margin in the industry is quite small. There's a lot of competition. So this cost recovery is just going to be a disaster, but it's part of this move. What's happening is, you know, here we have the Standing Committee of Health in this process, which begins in 1998. It doesn't end until 2004. 2004, we get these drug-style regulations, which is not what the Standing Committee of Health recommended. But they're way better than where we're going. Well, it literally takes the industry a good, you know, 10 to 12 years from 2004 to become compliant. Really, by 2016, we are largely there. And then in 2017, after all of this, like billions of dollars, tons of heartache, tons of citizen involvement to get where we were, 2017, Health Canada starts touring the country saying, we're coming out with a self-care framework. We're throwing out the natural health product regulations. They'll leave them there in name for political reasons. But we're throwing all of this out. We are imposing the self-care framework. It's non-negotiable. We're all told it's non-negotiable. Don't even talk about this. This is happening. No changes. And there's no changes. It's non-negotiable. Well, we find out from access to information requests, it's four bureaucrats with no expertise in the regulation of natural health products that are connected with international trade. And then we also get the documents from an access to information request. What did you rely on for this? And there's nothing there. We actually reproduce all of that in a discussion paper at the NHPPA site. And the self-care framework is to move us once again to regulate the same as chemical over-the-counter drugs.
We'll look at Health Canada's responsibility to chemical drug patents, their self-care framework, and what that means to you and all Canadians. We're continuing our conversation with constitutional lawyer Sean Buckley. So, Sean, can you give us an explanation of who Health Canada actually is?
Yeah, you see, and that's actually an interesting question because it's a little subtle, because we have really two different constructs. We have what Health Canada actually is in reality, and then we have this constructed public face where they make people believe that they are there to protect your health. When the reality is our drug regulations aren't there to protect health at all. They're there to protect intellectual property. And it might surprise your audience to learn that federal government does not have jurisdiction over health, which is why the provinces run hospitals and the provinces manage doctors and other healthcare practitioners, because the field of health is in the jurisdiction of the provinces under our constitution.
Well, then how can they be asking for all these powers then?
Well, the Food and Drug Act is a criminal law act, and with a little bit of international trade power used. So the federal government has jurisdiction over criminal law, so that as a nation we have one set of criminal laws. And also the federal government has jurisdiction over international trade. But the Food and Drug Act is largely a criminal law act, and I challenge any of your listeners to read the Food and Drug Act and drug regulations, and you find in there any reference to health, protecting health, or getting good health outcomes, or any public interest language of any description, it's not there, because that's not the purpose of the Food and Drug Act. It has nothing to do with health. It has to do with protecting intellectual property rights. So let me tell you funny stories. I have a Health Canada inspector on the stand in a case. It was the True Hope case. So Health Canada has charged True Hope criminally, because it's a criminal law act, with selling Empower Plus without a drug identification number. And this predates the Natural Health Product Regulation. So the whole industry didn't have a drug identification number. You couldn't get one. But they single out this product because it worked, and they were trying to drive them off of the market. So I've got a Health Canada inspector on the stand, and I'm trying to set her up so that I've boxed her in for a question down the road where I've got to get a yes. And so I'm asking preliminary questions to create this box. And one of the questions was something like, well, you know, as a Health Canada inspector, you're there to protect our health. And I'm expecting a yes, because I didn't realize yet that this public construct is just smoke and mirrors. It's, you know, the fake front of the building. And she says no. So I keep circling around trying to get her to answer that question yes, and she won't. Finally, she explains to me quite truthfully, because she is on the stand under oath, that Health Canada is not there to protect our health, that they are there to administer the Food and Drug Act and regulation. Well, she's right. I just didn't understand it yet. So Health Canada is there to enforce the Food and Drug Act and regulations. You know, for those of you who didn't watch the National Citizens Inquiry, I testified at the Quebec City hearings about the test used to approve the COVID-19 vaccines. And I'm just using this as an example of how Health Canada presents this facade that isn't reality. Because let's use the Pfizer COVID vaccine as an example. Any of your listeners right now can go to the Health Canada site, and they have a page for the Pfizer COVID vaccine. And at the top of the page will be a sentence in bold which reads something like, all COVID-19 vaccines approved of Health Canada have been proven to be safe and effective and of the highest quality. That's a marketing phrase, because the government came out with a test only for the COVID-19 vaccines where the word safety, not only did Pfizer not have to prove it was safe, the word safety isn't even mentioned. And not only did Pfizer not have to prove that the vaccine worked for anything, the word efficacy isn't even mentioned, and public interest isn't mentioned. So the test was something like, the minister has sufficient evidence to support the conclusion, and I'll just stop there. The minister's Health Canada, and if the goal was to have convinced Health Canada, it would read, the minister has sufficient evidence to conclude. It doesn't say that. It says, the minister has sufficient evidence to support the conclusion. So basically, Pfizer just has to make the argument that follows. So the minister has sufficient evidence to support the conclusion. The benefits outweigh the risk, having regard to the uncertainties concerning the benefits and risks and the urgent public health emergency presented by COVID-19. What is that? That's not a health test at all. That's a political test. They don't have to prove safety. They don't have to prove it works. And even though there's cost-benefit language in there, you can't do a cost-benefit analysis without understanding the safety profile and understanding the efficacy profile. And when you look at the new test, they didn't even have to really supply robust safety or efficacy evidence anyway. Like, the whole thing was political, and yet the messaging from Health Canada was, well, these have been proven to be safe and effective. Well, what are you talking about? Like, we know from Health Canada affidavits that, no, they weren't proven safe and effective. This test was applied. So I'm just using that as another example on how the public face doesn't necessarily have anything to do with reality. So Health Canada is, to answer your question, a bureaucracy that enforces the Food and Drug Act and regulations.
So what is this? It's called the self-care framework, and that's associated with Health Canada.
They came out with this in 2017, and they say it's non-negotiable. And they said, we're going to implement it in this order, and they're implementing it in the exact order that they're doing. So it's just really our way of harmonizing how we regulate natural health products and chemical drugs with international regulations so that all the Western countries will regulate them the same way. And the effect will be to get rid of these products, which is the end goal. Here are the parts of the self-care framework. reduce the regulatory burden for the chemical over-the-counter drugs, the Tylenols, for example, or the acetaminophen. Harmonize all self-care products, so anything that's over-the-counter, which includes our natural health products, harmonize those regulations with the chemical regulations that we've reduced so that they have one set of regulations, including standards of evidence. So right now, to get a product license for a natural health product, we can use traditional use evidence.
Right.
In some traditions, like the traditional Chinese practitioners, I mean, that evidence might go back 3,000 years, and we can use that. And, you know, even in the Western traditional, like herbalists and that, the evidence can go back thousands of years that, well, we've been using white willow bark to as pain management, for example.
Right.
But no, because we're now switching to clinical evidence. So if you want to use white willow bark, then you run a clinical trial showing that it is effective for pain reduction or pain relief. Even though we all know that from traditional use, and aspirin, ASA, is just one of the effective elements in or ingredients of white willow bark, tweaked slightly so it's a new novel chemical and we can get a patent on it, and then introduced under the chemical drug model. So we all know white willow bark works actually better than aspirin and without the intestinal bleeding and all the other things, because it's not a novel chemical. But we're going to lose that right, and that's going to be a bloodbath for us. And right now, you can get product licenses for natural health products for conditions for which you would seek medical advice. But they're telling us, no, going forward, once we harmonize, we're going to limit the purposes of these drugs literally to things for which you would not seek the advice of a healthcare practitioner. So literally, if it's not over the counter, you can't use this new stricter licensing scheme. So then you've got to go through the new drug approval process. Well, a natural health product's never gone through the new drug approval process in my lifetime, and it never will, because it costs $1 billion. It's totally inappropriate, and you don't have intellectual property rights. The real danger is we're going to lose all of those products that now we use to manage serious health conditions. I mean, there are a large number of Canadians today are only alive because of natural health products.
That's right.
And a larger number that only have any meaningful quality of life because of them, because they're managing serious health problems. No, 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 not under this new regime. That's not the intention at all. The goal is to take away this as a treatment modality. Like, the natural health community is a completely different way of treating and addressing illness, and they want to move us full stop into a full pharmaceutical model only, and that's what's happening. Is you will find yourself in the next couple of years where you do not have any choice except for the chemical drug model. That's what's happening. Those are the main steps. Other parts of the steps in the self-care framework is cost recovery, and I've already spoken about that happening. And the other parts of the self-care framework are imposing the same penalties and powers that the chemical drugs have on the natural product industry. So those are kind of all of the main planks.
These guys are unelected individuals. And to say that it's non-negotiable, we're in a democratic society. Where is our right to have conversation here? But you were saying earlier that by slipping it in through the budget bill, they bypassed the amendment process, if I understood that correctly.
Yeah, the problem is budget bills, they pass quickly, and they're meant to pass quickly. It's like they've introduced the budget's been approved by Parliament, and here's the changes we need to make to specifically implement the budget. Now, applying these powers and penalties that are totally inappropriate for natural health products, which the Canadian public made crystal clear, there's no mistake in anyone's mind in the government, we don't want this. Throwing that into the budget bill was just total gaming. Literally, it's sections 500 to 504, and the budget bill, when it goes into committee, so in Parliament after second reading, a bill goes into committee. Budget bill doesn't go to the committee dealing with health issues. A special all-party committee in the House of Commons called the Standing Committee of Health. And so any health bill goes to that committee after second reading, because they've got expertise on health issues as much as members of Parliament can. So they're supposed to look at it through their lens and try and figure out if there should be any changes and hold consultations when that's appropriate. And then it goes back into the House with their recommendations. And then and only then would it go to third reading. Well, that doesn't happen to a budget bill. It doesn't go to the Standing Committee of Health. So we've totally been walked around. But remember, these powers and penalties are only one of these planks. So yeah. The cost recovery wasn't in Bill C-47. They published that in the Canada Gazette because you have to give a notice about regulatory change. And they're saying, well, we're bringing in the cost recovery. Here's the proposal. You have till July 25th to comment. And it's curious the way they word the comments. It's like, this is going ahead because, again, this is being presented as non-negotiable. It's going ahead, but we'll take your comments. And so the political game will be, well, let's mitigate. Let's reduce them from what they proposed. But the problem is you allow them to happen, and then all they're going to do is bump them up later, you know, whatever reduced amounts they'll come up with for political reasons. And they will have already politically gamed this, and it's already planned. We'll still drive a lot of the industry under. And now you've got it already, and they just have to increase it the next time. It all happens in steps. And it's meant not to be democratic. But I think this is the test case, Dave. And there are things happening internationally that, regardless of where you were on COVID, you might be concerned with. Like, for example, we're basically negotiating a treaty with the World Health Organization, only everyone's pretending it's not a treaty and not using that name. But it would be binding on us. They're amending the international health regulations that would be binding on us and literally taking out protections for the individual to choose how they would treat themselves. And they're taking out the wording that gives us sovereignty over our own bodies, where philosophically you could actually reduce the population to protect one health. That's the initiative called. And the self-care framework is just part of this, putting us in a position where we've just harmonized with other countries and we've basically lost our sovereignty. But people need to be engaged in this conversation.
We'll explore Health Canada's claim that there's risk related to natural health products and the accuracy of their claim.